Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Before we begin, don't forget your free 30-day trial of eVoice. eVoice gives you a toll-free or local number so you can take business calls from anywhere and always sound like you're at the office. Also, eVoice has great features like dial-by-name directory and even transcribes your voicemail so you can read them at your convenience. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the eVoice banner for your 30-day free trial.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Good afternoon. How are you, boys?
Very well, yourself?
Is this music too loud, Rob?
It sounds just right.
That's wonderful. It's that time of year.
What time of year?
It's the year and season time of Downton Abbey, of course.
Of course, but of course.
While you were watching the Golden Globes, Downton Abbey was having a house party. You see.
What?
A regal, riotous, weekend-long marathon of poker games, opera performances, formal dinners, and shocking revelations, sure, to reshape the remainder of the season. Now, for those of you that have not watched Downton Abbey yet,
do not call it Downtown Abbey. That's incorrect.
Downtown Abbey. Downton, Rob. It's Downton.
Do you know who really add legs to this bit, Mike?
Who's that?
Is if Oscar chimed in with an English accent.
Oscar, do you take in Downton Abbey? Are you a frequent viewer?
Only at high tea.
It sounds more like low tea.
Now, I should pre-warn, and Rob,
yes.
I have Royal Britannia, or whatever the hell that's on.
I think I know what you're looking for. Yes.
I know the last time we did this little bit, you peppered my descriptions of the plot with some of your own British music.
Yes, but of course.
And incidentally, when I say you see, I'm doing the Bill Cosby you see only with a British accent. You see.
British Huxtable.
You see, so let you be forewarned,
yes,
that I will now be summarizing the major plot points of Downton Abbey. So therefore, if you have a DVR and you have not watched your Downton yet, please be aware of the fact that I will be recapping some rather significant plot points.
This is something of an alert for those of you who wish to avoid the spoilers.
Constable?
Yes, hello.
Bobby.
Alert.
Bobby.
Alert yourself. Here we go.
Alert.
Is the music playing? There it is. Suddenly.
What?
Let me start again. Sullen Lady Mary has a new suitor.
Oh!
When an old family friend, Lord Gillingham...
Who?
Lord Gillingham.
Is he good people or bad people?
I don't know. They all run together.
Of course.
Yes. When he attends the party, the sullen Lady Mary finds herself possibly, maybe, having a tiny bit of fun.
Oh, there's nothing better to have than fun.
On a horse ride, the two bond over the burdens of death and taxes, while Gillingham is technically engaged to a woman chosen for him by his parents.
What's he all says, this rot? He's already engaged and he's dating the sullen woman?
Well, Robert, he seems rather smitten with Mary, even after she runs away in tears after realizing she was dancing to music played on a gramophone that belonged to her beloved Matthew, who I happen to know, off script, was killed at the end of season 3 in a horrific auto crash. Yes, Oscar.
What say you of Benny Hill?
Would you like the second part plot? Summary?
Did anyone swim in the nude in the Thames?
No, there were no aureolas at Downton at this party weekend.
Oh, dear.
Lord Grantham is far too old school. That's the second plot summary.
So he's Robert like what, Run DMC? He kicks it old school?
He kicks it old school. Disorderlies!
Rated PG!
Robert is struggling with the new class system.
Of course.
The only person he can turn to is Carson the butler.
Hi-oh.
Perhaps the... Yes, let's bring in Carson the butler.
I thought he might
right
be
now.
There. Yeah.
Is Carson the butler right here?
Bring him in.
Coming in right now. This is a lovely castle. Thank you, Carson. Thank you so very, very much, Carson. I appreciate that. See, Carson, much like Lord Grantham, is also snobby.
Yes, of course.
Now, Lady Cora discovers that the two old fade-dades decided their honored guest performer, who happened to be a world-class opera singer...
Of course.
...that because she was a singer and not up to the standards of British aristocracy...
Oh, so she's simply a lowly performer.
She would be forced to dine on a tray in her bedroom and not eat with the royals.
Do you know what that is? Typical fuddy-duddy behavior.
Yes, Oscar.
Point of order.
Yes, hello.
What of Mr. Belvedere?
What is he even doing?
He does not watch the show. It's so very,
no, well,
very
he doesn't
obvious.
Even seem to realize the accent.
This is true. So she's a world-class opera singer. He doesn't want her to dine with the rest of the honored guests.
Right.
But she should dine alone in a room because she is beneath them. She is outraged. He says that to Lady Cora. Cora says, "Am I the only member of this family that lives in the 20th century?" she moans, instructing Robert. "You will have her next to you at dinner, and you will like it." You see, slowly but surely, the women are taking over, and I think it's wonderful.
Well, good.
And incidentally, Lady Cora is played by Elizabeth McGovern.
Oh.
Who in the day, back in the day.
You know.
Quick question.
Racing with the Moon, I believe she showed her breasts.
Well, who's playing the Great Gatsby?
Thank you. Number three.
He wasn't
Isabel
that great.
Crawley is not ready to be happy.
Oh, no!
Because, you see, Isabel was Matthew's mother.
Of course.
So not only is Lady Mary a widow, but Lady Crawley, she's the woman that's lost her son.
Oh, well, she's a despondent parent.
Yes, Violet is her name. She's the Dowager Countess.
Do you remember when the Dowager came into the shop and said, "This parrot is stone dead"?
This is a dead parrot.
How many parakeets?
Polly, Polly, Polly. No, that's another bit, Oscar.
Doing the best he can.
So that means you would have to. That means you would have to order 14 of them.
So you're saying that I would have to eat dinner on a
back
tray?
Back to Violet, boys.
Of
Violet,
of course.
She's embracing her strange new role of good-natured gadabout. She convinces Isabel to come anyway. That's right. Violet is not the Dowager. Oh, who knows? I can't keep track of all these bitches.
Right.
This week, Matthew's unemployed valet has been reduced to carrying groceries for the local market. How far he has fallen.
So sad. I hope he doesn't get a tin of caviar on his shoes.
And Lady Edith, you know, she's always trying to find that special man.
Yes.
So that she can procreate.
Yeah, she could look for Lord Archie.
She invited her married London beau, Michael Gregson, to Downton for the party his very first time, and he was trying to befriend Lord Grantham, but unfortunately that went awry. But it turns out there was a bit of a poker game at Downton, and it seems that Michael Gregson is quite the card shark.
Oh, no, did he?
Anyway, moving right along, Tom Branson has very poor judgment. Let's see, what else is here? Oh, that's about it. Oh, something awful happened at Downton.
Something awful?
Something awful.
Awful.
Something bad happened to Anna, the kitchen staff.
Oh, no. What happened?
We need some heavy music.
Oh, here. You need back to the heavy music? Yes. Okay, one moment. So
in a sharp turn from the frivolity of the party and the series' usual upstairs-downstairs drama, last night's episode took a decidedly dark turn as Anna was ravished by one of the other butlers while the opera singer was performing in the great room.
Wow, did they put the word butt into butler?
But because it was that era, Rob, yes. She's silent about it.
Of course.
She was beaten and bloodied. Anna goes to Mrs. Hughes for help, begging the woman not to tell a soul, terrified that Bates would murder the other butler, Green, and return to prison if he were to learn the truth. And that's where we ended last night.
That is awful.
That is your Downton Abbey update.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You know, I realize now that I'm an atheist, but I'm teetering. And I'm not teetering on believing in God. I'm either going to stay an atheist or I'm going to believe in 8,000 gods. A god for everything. A god for it's too hot. A god for it's too cold. A god for my coffee's too hot. A god for everything. And I think I may have run into one of the minor deities recently. I was in O'Hare Airport, and there was a food court near my gate, so I went and I got a sandwich. And they have a little, you know, area of tables and chairs. And you take your food, sit. And I'm eating my sandwich. And it took me about a minute before I looked up and I realized everybody in the food court is being so nice and polite. If they're talking to each other, they're talking at this volume. And if they're on a cell phone, they're also talking at this volume. Because what most people don't seem to realize is, if you talk into a cell phone at this level, the other person can hear you perfectly fine. A cell phone is not a walkie-talkie in the Korean War. You don't need to be going, Hotel India Foxtrot, do you acknowledge? People would finish eating, they would take the uneaten part of their food, put it back in their bag, tie the bag up, save a napkin, give the table a courtesy wipe. A courtesy wipe!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Cappy Fiverr Studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are broadcasting all over the planet and powered by Encore Insurance Services with over 22 million downloads. We're at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and we are heard over the air on the mighty 1630 KCJJ in the heart of the heartland. Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!
The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners in the world. Why?
Why, Mike?
Because they get it. That might be my favorite part of the show right now.
When I ask you why?
I don't know. When you say why.
Why?
Yeah, why, whatever.
Why?
Our show today is brought to you by eVoice. So, you're a business owner, but automated phone systems and secretaries aren't on your budget just yet. And juggling incoming calls yourself makes it hard to look professional. Huh?
Huh?
Here's something that will dramatically help you make more money in 2014. We're talking about eVoice. The number we use is an eVoice number. Whether you're a business of 1 or 100, eVoice will help you manage all of your incoming calls with a toll-free number, dial-by-name directory, and call routing tools. Your business will sound like $1 million. If I can't take a call, eVoice will transcribe the voicemail and email it to me. You will never be caught off guard again. And with eVoice, you can try it before you buy it. Right now, just for our listeners, this is a great deal. You can get a 60-day trial of eVoice absolutely free. Go to eVoice.com and enter promo code TMOS at checkout. Take charge of your business and make more money in 2014. Go to eVoice.com and enter TMOS at checkout for your 60-day free trial. That's eVoice.com, promo code TMOS. Well, it is day three. Post Vegas.
Yes.
And I wish I could say that I felt like I was on the road to recovery, but I still do not. I still feel as though I'm in Vegas. I really do.
No appreciable improvement?
No.
Really?
No.
I feel the same way.
I feel logy. I feel like I'm spent. You know
time
I mean?
Difference.
Is it the jet lag? Well, you know,
it's
normally
the jet lag. It's yep. The lack of. It's not just this lack of sleep that we had during the week. It was the breakneck pace of activity that we're used to the 8 days that we were there.
I still have disrupted sleep patterns.
Yeah, I only slept 2 hours last night. 2 hours. Yeah.
Are you using your thing? Out. Are you using your mask?
Yeah, but apparently, I woke up this morning and I'd left my watch in the boudoir. In the bathroom boudoir, and so I woke up without a watch on, which kills me. I love to check the time when I open my eyes, and I wake up, and apparently in a fit of rage, I had torn the little mask off of my face last night, and
no.
I had a horrible night. Horrible.
Oh, do you have
horrible?
Fits? Did you
horrible nightmare?
Do you have fits when you sleep?
Do I? I sleep in fits and starts, Rob.
I thought so. You know what that's I need to get you? Carrie got me the greatest thing. It's a clock that projects the time onto the wall. So when you wake up, you don't
I
notice
that
it
way
during
back
the day.
When I had that. I got that as a gift one time, and I don't know where, what yard sale it might have gone bye-bye in, but I used to love that thing. You just
it's
look
so
up on the ceiling.
Great, and this is an amazing one because in the middle of the night, it projects. Now, you don't see it during the day because it's not a bright enough projector, but in the dark, it gives you the time and the outside temperature.
Mike, I've got one. You can have it. I don't use it.
Oh, it's great. Why don't you use it? It's the greatest thing ever.
I realize that I don't. Because I'm so high strung, I don't like seeing the time tick by.
Oh, so like, is it like when you wake up 20 minutes before a wake up call in a hotel?
Yes.
And you stare at the clock until the wake up call comes.
Can't
up.
Can't do
there.
It.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
One of the things that, and I don't even want to talk about it. I'll go briefly, but I had a terrible nightmare, a baby nightmare, and it was really not fun.
So it was a nightmare about the baby, not a very tiny nightmare.
It was
nightmare.
About the baby, and it was not cool, and it was not, and it, I'm not going to talk about it because it was that freaky.
Just real quick about your fits.
Yes.
Mike's fits, his night fits, his night terrors.
Does Carla have special mitts for you like she does for little Michael?
No, he's got eczema, so we put those little mittens on him. And unfortunately, yesterday when we had the baby out and about, Daddy likes to take his mittens off, and Daddy had charge of little Michael for about 3.5-4 hours yesterday, and I took him out to the place that I always take. It's a great place for babies.
What's that?
Walmart. And I took him out there, and it was fantastic.
Did anyone make an offer on him?
You know what? I could sell him. I could make a fortune on that baby.
Yeah, you want to sell it by the piece, though, not by the pound.
So I got him a teething rattle, and it was a new one. And I said, look what I got for you. This is yours. This is right out of the package. None of you, not even going to wash it. I'm going to put it right in your mouth. And so I took the thing out of its little, you know, hermetically sealed package.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you don't need those little mittens on when you have a new toy. So I took his little mittens off, and he immediately got this death grip on the rattle and went to the mouth with it. And it was like, mission accomplished.
Sure. Yeah.
Problem solved. Daddy was happy. Then I put him in the back of the car, went to pick up Mom, who was getting her hair done.
Of course. You know. Of course. Right. At the salon.
She was doing a salon trip. And apparently he started digging at that little spot behind his ear again. And it kills me. And I haven't talked about his baby eczema. And for those of you that are going to send me 500 Facebook messages about how their kid dealt with it, a lot of kids get this and they grow out of it. So I've gotten a lot of advice, but I will tell you something. It is obvious to me that this bothers the kid, and
sure,
it just kills me because you see him always going to that one spot, and you take him to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician's like all doctors nowadays. Basically, the answer is, yeah, he'll grow out of it. It's not that big a deal. It's a big deal to me when I see my kid is uncomfortable.
Anytime you
day
see your kid,
in, day out.
You see your kid in discomfort. I think I've told this story before, is when Robert was first diagnosed and was in intensive care for his leukemia, and everyone was flipped out. And he had his first spinal tap. Now, it's not as bad as you would think, but a spinal tap does cause discomfort. So they give the
hell of a movie, too.
Great band, Mike. Great
yeah,
band.
Really, really terrific. Christopher Guest. You can't, you know. And how can you argue with that?
And they give you. Okay, Ina. How great is that?
How great is that?
How about their amp goes to 11? How great is that?
Jeffrey's coming back from a business trip, and he's going to put his thing in the chocolate ganache. How good is that?
So they give the kid Tylenol before and after a spinal tap.
Yes.
And Robert said, Dad, my back hurts. And I flipped out. I mean, I don't normally lose it, but I said to the nurse, I said, I don't care if he's 15 minutes away from his next dose of Tylenol. You've given this kid a spinal. You've got to hit him now.
Hit him now.
Do it. She said, okay. But the doctors, I said, do it. He needs his Tylenol.
They're such asses. Really, sometimes, you know, when you get a bad one, it's just like anything else. It's like a bad employee at a hotel. It's like a bad person at a car dealership. You get somebody that's not good, they're just not good.
And I think we only encountered two bad nurses in his entire treatment. But after they did the Tylenol, Robert
turned.
You know
why that is.
Why? Oh, yeah. Let's go back to that era and think about just how happy
right.
I was.
You got me. You got me on that
so
one.
So they give him the Tylenol against medical recommendations, and he turns over. Turns out he was laying on a triangular block.
Oh.
So I sort of sheepishly.
Like a kid's block?
Yeah. I took the wooden block and put it back in the play area in the hospital, and I said to the nurse, I said, he's feeling much better. Thank
he's
you.
He's fine now.
He's fine now.
Rob pulls the Terms of Endearment Shirley MacLaine scene in the hallway.
Give my daughter the pill! Give my daughter the pill!
Do you think if you wore mittens, you wouldn't pull off your mask in the middle of the night?
I don't know. I have to talk to my buddy who helps me with that, because I've lost weight about 10 pounds since Christmas time.
Look at you.
The thing is, what I need... So it's not a weight-related thing as much as it's... I don't know, man. It's just not doing the thing the way it used to.
Maybe it's the
water. I went eight hours with that thing on my face. So my buddy knows who he is.
Take that out of context.
I went 8 hours. I went all night
long. I went 8 hours with that thing in my face.
Does your buddy lay there with you and make sure that you're okay?
Who's that?
About the guy that knows about your mask.
No, he doesn't lay in the bed. He comes by and checks the machine.
You know what it is, Oscar? It's what they call a deep south sleep study, where Mike takes a nap and this guy just sits in the corner and watches.
Stands there with his pants around his ankles.
Yeah, how you doing at the bar? We just thought we'd come over for your sleep study and check you out in totality. Yeah, let me just slide in next to you in the bunk bed.
Like dressed all in white like a doctor, but wearing a string tie like Colonel Sanders.
Gentlemen.
All I know is it's just been unsettled, and I will also tell you this. Look, I'm not crying poor, pitiful me.
Right.
I'm down here, you know, here in beautiful temperatures with, you know, well, it's the 60s today, but that's okay. It's beautiful. It's not dead of winter.
Is it dancing weather?
It's not dancing weather.
Is it a cannonball off the diving board weather?
No. I haven't seen a pool. I haven't seen a pool. I haven't seen a... you're playing my music. I have trouble hearing that. Turn it off. Thank you. You won't get any older and you won't ever die.
So what?
I want to thank Oscar from the bottom of my heart that every single time we take a walk through the neighborhood now, Carla has to mention Cocoon. Probably a movie that she watched half of at some point. But Oscar, you know, Oscar said it and Carla latched onto it like it was gospel truth.
But you know, it's not just Carla. It's not just Carla. It's my father's favorite thing on the show right now. He says, how's Mike in Cocoon Village? He's given it a name.
There's got to be a pool you can break into.
That's true.
Well, let me, as a matter of fact.
Maybe like a greenhouse?
Yes!
I'll hit the door. I'll hit the door and I'll take you. This is me going out for my walk in the morning.
Okay.
After you hear the door, we'll start it. And, and let me just turn you up just a little bit.
Here. Okay.
So here we go. And
you got it.
Open up the door. Morning, Phil. Hello, Mike. How are you? Doing great. Hey, is it trash day today? Yeah, I noticed the recycling bins were out there. Yeah. It's a lovely little dog. What kind of dog is that? It's a corgi? Yeah. I got a long-haired chihuahua back at the back at my place. I do. Yeah, it's terrific. When are they going to be cleaning the streets again? Oh, that's interesting. Okay, hey, do you hear about Sam? Yeah, that's a shame.
Oh, that's
when's he
everything.
Getting out of the hospital? Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Hey, listen, have you hopped the fence at the end of this community and gone to that big mansion next door where they've got that swimming pool with those rocks in the middle of it? Yeah. Well, I did the other day, and I got a boner. So long. So long, Phil. There
we go. You know, how close are you in your your environment?
Yes.
In your fenced-in environment.
Right.
In your village.
My gated community.
Are you close to a McDonald's?
Yes.
Because there is a sort of an informal club that I've spotted many times at the McDonald's in McLean near my doctor's office. Mm-hmm. Every morning at about 9, old men gather there and they each buy one cup of coffee and one biscuit and they take turns bringing homemade jelly from home and they sit around and they swap stories and share jelly. You could start the jelly club down there.
Yeah, you could bite my right one, too.
Oh, well, no, you see, I'm just trying to help, trying to get you plugged into the community.
Next time next time Carla references Cocoon, you should really sit down and watch the movie, because it's not just about older people reinvigorated because of an alien pool.
Right,
it's
right.
A love story.
It is.
It's a beautiful love story. Yeah, it's one of the most beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful movies ever made.
That's, yeah.
It's absolutely about, phenomenal.
It's about Hume Cronin pleasuring Jessica Tandy.
Oh, that's so gross.
And, you know, they've been at it for a long time.
they're gone, Rob. They're at it as Beetle food now.
I know, but at that point, they had been married probably 45 or 50 years. Can you imagine all the experimentation they did?
I'm in the mood for love simply because I've got one. Blue steel. Cat couldn't scratch it.
Yeah, and you won't ever die.
You too? You got a boner too?
That's the most awkward line in the whole movie, because it's not only an 80-year-old man in that state, but he's so excited about it.
It's
a special movie.
I apologize. There has to be a May December, another May December romance within your neighborhood. There has to be.
Somebody's phone ringing.
That's me vibrating over here, but it's the sound is turned off.
It's his pacemaker.
Hey, I turned it off. I turned it off, Mr. Ass. I turned it off, okay?
Okay.
And it won't ever ring and it won't ever vibrate.
I turned it off. You think I'm You think when I get down here full time I'll start talking like that? Hey, hold on there, Oscar. You don't understand. I can't figure out when this phone is going to ring or when it's not going to ring.
So,
you got one too? You got a text too?
You got one too? You got an iPhone too? I better go breakdance.
You should know that I had a long conversation with my father yesterday about the show, because my father doesn't really understand what I do for a living. I think he thinks you know what I think he thinks I do?
What?
I think he thinks I'm a drug dealer. And I'm not lying to you, because he always tries to, he goes, Oscar, I do not understand how you pay your mortgage and how you have stopped asking me for money.
In his mind, would he be pleased with that? Because that's sort of like being in a medical community.
Yeah, I deal with illegal pharmaceuticals.
That's right.
I said, no, Dad, we're good to go. And I said, Mr. Mike is moving to Florida because he wants to live down there.
Do you really call him Mr. Mike?
Well, to my father, yes.
Because
he calls me Mr. Mike.
Or something. My kids still call you Uncle Mike, and I refer to you as Uncle Mike in my house.
So he'll be there till the end of January, and then he looks at me and goes, Oscar, how long is Mr. Mike going to continue doing the show? Because he doesn't know your age. He doesn't know much about it because he doesn't care what I do for a living.
Right.
And I said, well, he's a little older, but he's not much older. But in the past, I've called you viejito or el viejo con que trabajo. So basically means the old man that I work with, which would be you.
Okay.
Say that again.
El viejo que yo con que trabajo. That's what it is.
Boy, you really have a way with the language.
Yeah. Well, hi there. I'm old viejo de trabajo.
Yes.
I'm viejo de trabajo, and I'm getting pretty long in the tooth there.
So, but I say that in a caring, loving way.
Okay.
And my dad says, well, he's basically thinking that you're going to retire. And he says to me, he goes, well, how old is he? I said, he's 54. He said, that's not viejo. 54 is young, because my father is 73, and he says...
You can tell your father this, Oscar.
Yes.
Okay? Tell your father this, and because this, you know the truth, and Rob knows the truth, and
what's that?
Some of the people around us know the truth. The fact is, it's a story of a man with two homes.
That's right.
A man who, back in the day, had two homes that he had no problem supporting. Then, lo and behold, the financial realities of our time came along, and we decided that one of those homes had to go, and unfortunately... There was a really big, expensive home, and then there was a little cocoon home that was much easier to sustain and pay the bills. And so the trabajo viejo one day decided when he was looking at his bank account that there were two options. One could give up the podcast and go become a Walmart greeter, or we could keep doing the podcast and go from the rather large, expansive home to the more micromanageable home. And you can tell your dad that I am not intending to retire anytime in the foreseeable future. I'm going to do this for a long time. I love what I do. And, this is bliss for me to do this show. I talk about that all the time.
And we didn't even get that far, because once he realized you're 54 and not 78.
Right.
Yes.
He said, you've got a long run. And then I said, would you like to see, because I have a picture actually of your son in my phone from when you sent me the Christmas photo.
Okay.
And then I said, would you like to see your son? So I show him your son. He's like, oh, that must be cool to be an older father. Why not? And I said, would you like to see his wife? And then I have that wedding picture.
Oh, boy.
And I started scrolling through, and I got to the wedding picture of when you and Carla got married. And he gave me the Tony Danza, Jesus.
Look at her. Look at her.
I didn't know what kind of a piece of ass you were going to be bringing home.
And suddenly your father came to the realization this man will be working until he drops and they put him in the casket.
Exactly.
We'll take a break. We will come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show right after this. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment of our program is brought to you by our good friends at Encore, Encore Insurance Services. It's a brand new year, and if you're out there shopping insurance, it's hard to know which company offers the best value. Encore Insurance is here to help. Encore surveys the most highly rated companies in the insurance industry to compare premiums. Encore does the work so you don't have to.
Yeah.
I don't know why I always want to say that line like that. Yes, Encore does the work so you don't have to.
It's an old commercial. It's something from an old commercial. You don't have to. Like,
from another company.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Encore. Popular internet disc jockey Oscar Santana will tell you it couldn't be easier. Thank you. Just call toll-free at 866-347-5748 to get a free life insurance quote. It's all free. There's no obligation, and no salesman will visit you. If you prefer computers, just visit smartterm.com. That's SmartTerm.com. That's where you'll find the license disclaimer and quality customer service. Encore Insurance Services, LLC. Stop paying too much for life insurance. Protect your family the smart way at SmartTerm.com. Okay. We really didn't get into this in great detail,
okay,
but I think I have to vent. We did a lot of flying over the weekend, and I will tell you something that I'm having trouble getting my head around.
What's that?
I just can't shake this story about the pilots and the short runway, and I just don't get it. I thought, let me just tell you my impression of what air travel was today. The reason we don't have the accidents that we used to have, the reason we don't have these problems is because basically the only thing pilots have to worry about when they're flying across the country is pilot boredom, because these automated systems are in place so that they will not have any problems.
The computers.
Oh, even more than that. I spoke to a guy at the Dual booth, D-U-A-L, and yes. I stopped by because they used to build turntables 1,000 years ago. And what he has, they have something, it's an iPad app, what goes to an antenna about the size of a Gatorade bottle.
You just said they have an iPad app, what goes to?
What goes to?
You just said it, like, you see, you know, it's like,
they just tell me that they've got an iPhone app. They said that right now. What goes to one of them computer fangle things they do all the time? Do you speak like that occasionally?
Maybe if I get excited. It was You know what it was? Severe misstep, and I apologize to you.
Okay, I interrupted. Go ahead.
But mostly I apologize to Oscar.
Now, he would have murdered any of us if we said that.
I would have
murdered us.
I agree. Please call me on it. But the iPad app connects to this small antenna, and it puts the plane on a GPS system accurate to 6 feet.
Wow.
And so they don't.
I got a CPAP mask. What lets me breathe at night?
now listen, Mr. Haney. Know that you used to see the pilots go onto the plane with that square suitcase full of maps.
Yeah.
Gone. No longer needed because of this one app. And because of that, boredom is an issue. All they have to do is click, and their job is essentially done for them. For most,
I don't know what newscast it was, but on one of the newscasts the other night, might have been the NBC affiliate down here in Fort Myers, they had a guy that was a pilot, an instructor, and I think it was network because they did it where this near Branson, Missouri, where this plane landed. And they took up this flight instructor, and he was sitting there looking in the cockpit with the guy. They had the camera, and they said, now look, from 10 miles out, you can see those runways are really not far apart at all. And I'm sitting there. During that whole discussion, I'm like, yeah, I know, but isn't there like some giant beacon of a signal that tells the pilot, you know, you're landing on the wrong runway? And this could have...
Well, what you're saying...
People have no idea what a massive disaster was averted. They were 500 feet away from plunging off a cliff onto a highway below. This would have been one of the worst air disasters in American history.
By saying that the airports look similar, which I guess they do, that's like saying, you know what, in 5 years, only 3 times have I gone home to the wrong house. Now, to be fair, the houses look similar in my neighborhood, but it's not. They're different, and an airport is very different, and they should have realized it based on the length of the runway. You and I have been through an aborted landing before.
Yeah, not fun.
No, it sucks, but when they saw the length of that runway, God, why didn't they pull back on the stick and go back in the air?
Apparently they were past the point of no return, but
Okay.
Here's my point with this. This is where I think if I'd known this before we made our trip out to Las Vegas, I would have been so much more phobic, because I think it comes down to that you have your automated systems, but by and large, when it comes to crunch time, but then you have the instrument rating. You have the instrument landing, and they do instrument landings all the time.
Don't forget your instruments.
My feeling is I just don't understand how you could be completely off course. They give you compass headings. They give you, and did they just disregard everything? I'll be fascinated to see how this plays out, because it really scares the crap out of me. When, you know, it's one thing when pilots fall asleep and they go off course for, you know, half an hour.
Sure,
I get that. I mean, that's just not paying attention to the information. But when you guys got guys that are awake and they land on the wrong run, it just doesn't make sense.
And you're supposed to be in communication with the tower. Wouldn't the tower say, by the way,
we don't see you yet.
You're not supposed to be here. You're not cleared for landing.
Yeah, and I can almost see it from like a layman's mistake level. Is that, you know, they look similar from the air, but they're not, and they're different.
You're flying a plane, not delivering a Domino's pizza.
Exactly, exactly.
That's a different animal.
Yeah, okay, United, Southwest 6450, you were clear for landing on the, not on the regular airport runway, you're clear for landing on that tiny little postage stamp runway, but about half the runway. We're going to give you a real test here, so bring her down, roger that. Yeah, okay. Okay, thanks, thank you, Control. We are making our descent here and landing at the runway that looks really, really small. I'm told that there's a cliff on the other side of that that's going to collapse. What's going on?
It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't at all.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And
could you continue on the tower, Mike, and ask for that restaurant in Houston? Maybe that's what they were distracted by.
Papa Doe?
Yeah.
Roger there. I mean, we're checking out. Roger, tower, can you tell me, is there a restaurant called Papa Doe that is in the on the Houston airport? Roger, we'd like to know. Is there a chance we could, we'd like to divert? We're in Branson, Missouri. We'd like to take about a four-hour diversion land at Houston Intercontinental Airport, George Bush Intercontinental Airport. And go have the crawfish etouffee. We'd like to have that at the East Houston Airport. That would be a lot of fun. Papa Doe and Michael have the alligator bites. Roger that. Those delicious alligator bites, that's going to be a good meal, too. And listen, he's so fat that once we give him that sweet potato pecan pie, should we do that for him? Roger, tower. That's a clear Southwest. You can divert over to Houston Intercontinental Airport to get the Papa Doe shrimp etouffee. Sounds like a good plan. Roger that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. Hope you're enjoying flying Southwest. Yes, one of the original bare bones, we only give you peanuts airlines. Listen, we're going to get to, the good news is, if you live west of Branson, Missouri, you're going to get home a little earlier tonight. The bad news is, we've landed on the wrong effing runway. I'm real sorry about that. Now, your flight attendant, Peggy, she'll be coming through the aisle to collect the vomit bags. And for those of you that may have dented your forehead on your seat table tray, we want to say we're awful sorry. Awful sorry. Listen, the people at Southwest are going to give you a $400 credit. We'll be giving you shuttle buses, too. Shuttle buses will be taking you back to Branson. And incidentally, really, have you been to Branson? Would you really want to land there? I wouldn't. Have a nice day, and thanks for flying Southwest.
You know, it actually, it could have been worse if he made the announcement, we are now arriving in Branson, Missouri. If you look out the left side of the plane, that's the Hollywood sign.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty insane. It seems to me that when you're talking about the avionics, and do I sound okay, guys? I'm just double checking here.
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that I, because I'm messing with my new levels down here and just trying to get everything right. Here's the most important thing. You've got computers now, and you've got technology where they have redundancy in these aircraft. They have all the different bells and whistles. I just don't see, and I'll be really waiting to see exactly how this type of thing happens, because I don't get it at all.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense.
I'm reminded of the same thing I'm reminded of when we see another tragic shooting in a school.
Yes.
Will this make things better in the future? Is there any positive to be taken from? I mean, thank God no one was killed in this horrible idea to land in the wrong airport. But
they actually, on this news story, Rob, they took the pilot instructor, the flight instructor, and they flew over the end of the runway, and they got a camera shot of exactly what was happening at the end of that runway. This would have been, probably everyone would have died on that plane.
Oh,
that's how bad,
God.
That's how steep the cliff was.
Well,
it was absolutely scary.
All we can hope is that they do something to prevent something like this from happening again, some sort of check.
When the plane lands, and you guys might be in the same boat as I am, I don't know if it's going to be a smooth landing or if it's going to be a rough landing. Usually it's in between, right?
Sure.
But yeah. I always brace my legs for a rough landing. And I do that simply because if it's a rough landing, I don't want to be jerked forward. Do you guys brace yourself?
Well, my whole body tightens. I hate when an airplane lands.
Well, I don't have to tighten my body because with my seatbelt extender, I am so strapped into the seat that I really don't have to worry with all that fabric that has no give, as we discussed the other day.
Also,
hunky-dory.
Also, with Mike's seatbelt, he gets lightheaded, so he's not aware that the plane is landing.
Now, that's option number one. Option number two... Option, there's Mrs. O'Meara. Hi, Mrs. O'Meara.
Hi, Carla.
Option number two is that, you know, I'll be so obliterated with alcohol by the time we land that I just don't care. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to follow up with the discussion of yesterday with Oscar Santana and find out how he's handling that wonderful love mail that he's getting from everybody after his Ways of the World of Love and Shannon. We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Hey, a business card says a lot about you, right?
Sure.
And your business...
you want to try that again?
All right, let's start again.
Okay, I agree.
A business card says a lot about you and your business, right?
Yes, Mike, you're right.
Are you a podcasting Bolivian?
No.
A tech guy who loves sugar gliders?
No.
Yes.
An obese jukebox enthusiast?
That's me. There we go.
No matter who you are or what you do, Vistaprint.com has thousands of designs that will say exactly what you want, and now is the perfect time to say it. For a limited time only, just for our listeners, 250 high-quality premium cards for just $10. What a great deal. Shipping is included. Oscar created our card for the CES, and it was easy and fast, and they looked amazing.
I was happy that you guys liked what you got.
They were gorgeous.
At the CES, I handed out more business cards than I ever have before, and I just want that to be the case wherever I go now. I want to carry them with
You're proud of them.
You were handing out cards like that guy that solicits hookers on the corner in front of the Mirage. You said, you want a card? You want a card? You want a card?
You were looking out your window. You saw me. Just choose the design you want. Pick your industry. There are over 20. Or select a style instead, like bold, conservative, modern, or retro. Oscar got us the nice raised lettering. They even have a personal and family section if you're looking to create a contact or mommy card. Once you find the card you like, the design process is fun and easy. Add custom text, move stuff around, change fonts and colors, add logos, even upgrade your paper stock or print on both sides like we did.
Sure.
Anything you want. So remember, 250 premium cards, only $10. I mean, get a business card on a whim with that kind of price.
You can do it on a goof.
Included.
Do it on
Absolutely.
A goof. It's fun.
Just go to Vistaprint.com and put our promo code TMOS in the cart when you check out to get this offer. And don't forget to check out all of Vistaprint's marketing products like postcards, flyers, brochures, and websites. They even match your business card. That's 250 cards for only $10. Go to Vistaprint.com and remember to put our promo code in there. That's TMOS. Okay, a couple of things I want to talk about. I got a list of stuff here, and I'm not sure where to go. We covered the pilots. I wanted to get the way. Real quick throwaway. Has anybody seen the viral video of the day? You can't argue with this one. The Devil Baby?
Oh, my God. It's horrifying.
Oh, the Devil Baby. Oscar, have you seen the Devil Baby?
I have not seen it.
Yeah, you should bring up Devil Baby.
Bring up Devil Baby. Devil Baby is the new viral video. This is a new way, obviously, that movie companies are promoting, and I'm all for it. I think this is great. It's like a candid camera on steroids, don't you think, Rob?
Do you remember the one, the really, really good one they did when the reboot of Carrie came out, where they rigged
fantastic.
A coffee shop to look like a woman really had
telekinesis? Oh, my God. I just saw it.
Yeah, but this takes it to the next level, because you know what this is? This is the scariest of all things. This is surreal. This looks like it might be real, and that's why it makes it so horrifying.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
It is wrong.
That.
Yeah, I think it is not cool.
I think we saw Devil Baby at a couple booths at CES.
Wow.
Yeah, can we get that video available for people, Rob?
Absolutely.
Can we make sure that they see that?
We'll put it on our YouTube page.
Or you can just Google Devil Baby. You'll be able to find that too. What it is, I should describe it when we're talking about it. They're promoting some sort of demonic horror film, and which, you know, I suppose I should have known that one, but I don't. And they rig up like this artificial mannequin baby that springs.
An animatronic, yeah.
An animatronic, and it kind of looks like Chucky with the red demon eyes, and he screams. They've got an audio speaker in there that makes the baby scream, and then the mechanism actually catapults the baby baby upright. So the baby's being covered by a blanket, and when the baby pops upright, it screams at the same time, and people go out of their minds. Devil baby. Fantastic devil baby.
Love it.
Are we going to play it right now?
No, no. I just wanted to show you just quickly that it is the movie. The movie's going to be released on January 17th, and it's Devil's Due. Oh, that's what it's called.
Mike will be there. Everyone in his neighborhood will want to see it.
Hey, Oscar, have you seen the Wahlberg movie, the Navy SEAL movie yet?
No, I have not. Though
that
I did
is on
watch,
my list.
I did watch the 60-minute special on it, Lone Survivor.
Yeah, and where tragic, they had the actual SEAL.
Yeah, tragic, and it is... you know, to be fair, I remember walking out of the movie theater with my father after watching Black Hawk Down, and I was in tears. And while... I'm going to go see Lone Survivor. It is something that I don't think I'd have to go with my pop or one of you guys because I don't think I could do it alone. Just
I think a lot
tragic.
Of the listeners that are listening to you right now would probably refer to you after your discussion yesterday as somebody who has the potential to be the Lone Survivor in a relationship.
Yes.
I think
that could
Oscar
go either way, really.
Oscar got himself a little hate mail yesterday.
Gentlemen, let me say this. If there isn't anything on this program or with the people, the wonderful people that listen to this program, is passion. They have passion. They love every part of the show, and they like to express themselves when they don't love certain parts of the show.
As a disinterested observer, can I give a 10-second recap of what we did yesterday on the show?
Yeah,
because if
do.
Perhaps for some reason, if you missed yesterday's show, shame on you. But
right.
Oscar equated his relationship with Shannon to having Shannon be on scholarship. And that you have to keep a certain emotional GPA up, otherwise you lose the benefits of the scholarship.
Rob's good at summaries, isn't he? I can tell you did well at BCU. He does good. He does good with them summaries.
And to be fair, it's not just tuition. It's room and board as well.
Of course. I never meant to imply anything
full
otherwise.
Full scholarship.
Yeah, this
and
is
Rob,
not
would
just...
you agree? Would you agree that my point of view yesterday was that in a relationship,
yes,
and I've had many. I've had many that went all the way. You know what I mean? Where
yeah.
I go right down the aisle.
Well,
all right?
if they don't go all the way on the first date, there is no relationship.
Yeah, that's right. You got to bang me on in the first hour or we're finished.
Yeah,
no.
Mike likes to lay some pipe early on.
Well, you're not a patient man. We know that.
The lady will have the linguine with clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
With no
then
ice.
We're going to go out to the car and bang.
That's right. We're going to bang. I'm going to bone.
So you will agree, though, that I was saying to Oscar that that's really not what relationships are. You know, you don't have one person brings this, the other person brings this, and then you quantify it. It can't be done, especially if you're going to be together for a long time. You know, one person is always at a given time going to give more than another person gives.
Precisely.
And so that was kind of my point yesterday. And, you know, Oscar was citing his parents' relationship as an example. And then, of course, we threw in the fact that Carla, you know, provided me with lunch.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yesterday.
Yeah, there was a bacon sandwich brought to your very lap.
I cooked dinner last night. Thank you.
What did you cook?
I cooked.
And I'll do anything for food.
I cooked the most delicious steaks. Seriously?
Yes.
They had a farmer's market down here. And the guy, you know how they give you out samples of the meats that they have and stuff like that?
Yes, they give you out samples.
I said, I want that sample, what I can eat.
So I'm just, I'm not even going to underscore. I just want to say, I think right now we're about tied.
The greatest New
give
York
you
strip.
Out samples.
The greatest New York strip steak that I have ever purchased in a store or at a market or anywhere. It was the greatest.
How thick?
Bar none.
How thick?
It was probably, it wasn't super deluxe thick. It wasn't like Costco thick.
So like an inch?
But, yeah, probably about an inch.
That's
and
perfect.
It was phenomenal.
And boneless?
Phenomenal steak.
Was it a boneless strip?
It was a boneless strip. Yeah, it wasn't a Kansas City
great.
Strip.
I think that is my favorite steak to order. And I think, Matt, weren't you saying that you don't like a New York strip when we were in Vegas?
Yeah, New York strip tends to have a different flavor that I just don't like
you
as
know,
much.
I'm sorry,
it's
dude.
Good.
You're talking
but...
about food to me. You're talking about food. Seriously, that's like Hitler saying, hey, let me tell you about that cruise I went on.
Hitler's cruise. Oh, Hitler hated the cruising.
You know, I wouldn't take cruising advice from Hitler.
Do you know why, Mike? Because Adolf Hitler, I mean, a lot of people know a lot about him, but I know this.
Right.
He hated waiting in lines.
That's right.
That's what made him so angry.
I wouldn't take cruising advice from Adolf Hitler, even though he, you know, at least some people in his administration knew their way around transportation. But anyway.
Gentlemen. Speaking of hate, first, a tip of the hat to listener Scott Hansen, who I have nothing against, because
Pony, is that your neighbor?
I understand where he's coming from.
Okay.
I appreciate and respect his passion. Now I will pass my iPad to my friend Rob Spiewak, who's much better reader than I am. And he can read what Scott wrote.
Oh, this is in the fan club page. And yes, he actually started the thread with this post. Oh,
by the way, this is one of about 70 private messages I received.
All right. Okay. Here we go.
But this was a post, and it reads like this. Dear Casey. No, it says, as much as I love TMOS, Shannon deserves much better than that douchebag Oscar. But he spelled it Dutchbag.
See, right there, though, if you're going to call somebody a douchebag, you have to do the D-O-U-C-H-E.
Yeah,
you have to do that. If you don't do that, I'm not immediately, without any credibility whatsoever, springing to Oscar's defense. But this guy, if you're going to do this, if you're going to slam one of my guys, you better spell douche the right way.
All right, let me read it in its entirety. As much as I love TMOS, Shannon deserves much better than that douchebag Oscar. He was born a century too late for the way he sees how relationships work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Could you read the next comment, please?
Yeah, from Jason Hill.
Yes.
And Jason, Mike. And
hey, Jason Hill's he's a buddy.
Yeah, yeah. And here's what he writes.
Cameron Hill's, isn't that the guy?
Yeah,
yes,
Cameron Hill's.
He says,
golf links.
White Knight Scott Hansen! !! If you are serious, pound sand. Oscar is a hardworking provider that she loves. To say different is an insult to her and her judgment. And you are clearly unable to discern an exaggerated situation for the sake of comedy. What's next? Jason. Are you upset that they bring in a mentally challenged man named Charlie and tease him? Does it seem suspicious to you that Mike is never in the room? And how do you know what Shannon deserves? And what in the hell is a Dutch bag, you douchebag?
Yeah, what's a Dutch bag?
Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Hello, Rob.
Are you enjoying Florida?
I got a bone to pick.
What's up, Charlie?
I got a bone to pick with Jason Hill.
Oh, what is it?
I'm not mentally challenged.
You're not? What are you?
Sharper's attack.
Are you really?
You want to know why I love it down here?
Why?
Because you won't get any older and you won't ever die.
Bye, Charlie.
73-year-old Charlie Stewart Stavelak.
Nothing against Scott Hansen. I appreciate and I understand his passion.
Right?
So after about 20 to 30 comments, back and forth, for and against me.
You responded.
Right, I responded.
And you know what? This is Oscar going against the advice he gives us all.
Because I never respond.
He jumped into the fray like a man rescuing a child from a septic tank.
But it's so much fun, Oscar. Don't you get satisfaction at all?
No, I actually regret it when I was over.
Okay, here's what Oscar wrote. He writes, Dear Casey, his traditions come from high atop the Andes Mountains, and he usually does not speak of those traditions. But when he does, he only hopes those who listen actually listen, laugh, and enjoy. And congratulations, 25 likes on that.
That's good. Yeah. You know, the fact is, look, I hate it when we have to pull the curtain back, but you know what? Yeah, we have an honest show. We deal with things head on, but we also, you know, we embellish a little bit. We tweak it up.
Absolutely.
You know, Oscar's not a monster that Shannon's terrified of.
Yeah,
you know?
I only beat her on Thursdays.
He's just a chauvinist pig.
That's right.
That's all he is.
And for example, another exaggeration, I'm not really fat. We play it up for the show.
Guys, this got... This
and
got,
I don't drink, ever. I haven't touched a drop in 30 years.
Dry as a bone.
This got so viral that when I walked in my home last night around 11:30 p.m., my lovely girlfriend Shannon, who a long time ago we had a pep talk about her not listening to the program.
Right, and I think at the Christmas party we even established
she
does not listen because it makes things easier for everybody.
For everybody, And she says, as she was getting ready for bed, she says, so, did you have a good show today? And I said, yeah, we had a good show. She goes, but no, I'm talking about the Mike O'Mara show. And I said, it was a really, really good show. Actually, it was a lot of fun. We plugged.
So she became aware of what you were talking
about? Again, we plugged yogaandone.com. And she's like, oh, that's really nice of you. Why would you plug yogaandone.com? And I said, well, to be fair, I talked about my scholarship that you won, and then it turned ugly.
Okay, at that point, did you realize she had listened?
She didn't listen, but she knows that I have...
Oh, so you know what? She just got it from the Facebook threads, and that's even worse. Right?
Yes.
She gets the feedback on Facebook, and she knows that something's up.
Secondhand stuff.
Secondhand stuff. I should point out
we didn't just give her a plug. We gave her a hell of a plug.
We did.
For Yoga in One, that a lot of people know about that, right?
Absolutely.
Now.
So I said, baby, look, again, I'm not going to refer to you as, you know, the scholarship winner. I love you. I care for you. If you realize I'm coming home at 11:30 p.m.,
right.
I've been working for 15 hours, and I think you've been home for 8. So this is not a discussion we're going to have right now.
Now, when did this stop being an apology, Mike? I know you're listening to the same guy that I am.
It is so far away from an apology.
But didn't it start out like maybe he was going to make an apology?
I don't think so, Rob. I really don't.
When he starts throwing statistics of hours around, that's really when you lose all your footing.
I guess Miss Yoga Girl is pretty insensitive to the fact that I've been working for 15 hours and 45 minutes.
But that's, you know what? He did it in an even worse way. He almost made it seem like, I guess I don't need to bring up the fact that I worked 9 hours more than you today. So I'm not going to mention that.
Oscar, did you have a fight based on this?
I said, because, baby, whatever you think is going on right now isn't going on. You should know that I love you, and it's time for you to hit the hay. And I'm going to watch a little TV.
I'll join you in
about 2 hours when I wind down from my day.
And I'll join you in about 2 hours for a nice little trip to that amusement park we call Pound Town.
That's right. That's right. As you know, I've been working for 15 hours, and I require 119 to 120 minutes to unwind. So why don't you put your pretty little head on that pretty little mattress?
No, I treat her like the princess that I think she is. Mm-hmm. Now,
I'm going to help you out.
Yes.
All right, because obviously you have been taking a lot of. I am.
Okay, I've been taking hits.
If I put him on the spot, it might not work. But when you say you treat her like the princess that she is, just one, maybe two, if you're really ambitious, 3 examples of how you treat her like a princess.
She had the iPhone 4S. And she wanted a better iPhone, and I went out and bought her the iPhone 5S.
Okay, that would be a gift.
Full price.
Would be a gift. I'm sorry.
I know that you and I... No,
we are not accepting that answer. I'm sorry.
I think it deserves a ding. That's princess-like treatment, I think.
She didn't ask for it. It was a surprise.
First of all, you buy your lady a gift. A phone is a gift. It's like going to a store and buying something. I'm sorry. The judges have rejected that. I'm not going to treat that.
I was in there swinging for you, Oscar.
How about number 2?
Number 2. Okay.
Like poop, right?
Can I get a little timer, please?
Yeah. Go ahead. All right. It's number 2. We're at number 2. How Oscar treats Shannon like a princess.
Unless you don't count the first one, then we're still at number 1.
That's true. I pay her phone bill every month. And she has unlimited texting.
I'm sorry, I can't expect that. You're living together. You are basically
but we're not married.
Person.
No,
we're not married.
But you're treating her more like a daughter.
But you're kind of, because you're under the same roof and you're living together in sin. I should point out that that just comes with the territory. Some people take care of the bills.
You're right.
Some people don't.
I got one more. This is it.
Okay, this will be the first.
This will be the home run.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead.
I pay for her car insurance.
Can I have a word with my client?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Permission to approach the bench. Oscar, what he needs is something that has no financial ramifications. He needs an example of behavior.
We seem to have a theme here, and it's not boding well for your argument, Oscar Santana.
Can we have a little more time on the clock?
Please.
Thank you. So something emotional, some sort of treatment. This feels like we're on Pyramid. I need things that you do to make her feel like a princess. Something that you, like a behavior that you exhibit towards her that makes her feel like $1 million.
I got one for you.
Also. Okay.
How about at the end of the night, you grab her, give her a big hug, then you cradle her hand, her head in your hands, and you look her in the eye and you say,
"You is kind, you is smart. You is important."
What do you think about that?
That's a lot of work. Let me say...
That's a lot of work.
Let me say this, that... okay, I got it. Now, this is the real deal. Like, no BS.
All right, get ready, Mike.
I feel like...
Get ready, America.
Like, I'm really a good guy for doing this.
Yeah, you are.
So, because I'm the president of the Homeowners Association in our building...
Right.
My job is when there is snow or ice between myself, the secretary, and the vice president that we shovel and we
you've been doing a lot of shoveling today.
We actually we lay the salt out. We are running low on salt in our building, and I put most of the salt outside of the door of her car so she wouldn't slip.
So you actually showed favoritism between Shannon and the rest of the building. So you gave her more salt than anyone else in the entire building just to make her life more convenient.
I was worried about her falling down, and I said, you know what? We're running out of salt. I'm going to give the rest to my girl.
I'm giving that a ding, Rob.
Thank you.
Very good.
That counts. That counts. That's manual labor. That's him thinking of her. That's him putting her on the priority list.
That's right.
Agree?
And you know what? And she'll stand by him when he's sued by every other person in the building.
Right, right. And incidentally, if you're keeping a grade on Oscar's handling of this crisis, he is one step just above an incomplete right now.
No, I think he's doing good. He's doing every bit as good as Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, absolutely. We will take a break and come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, everybody, are you part of the procrastination? Well, never fear, folks. It's not too late to jump on the 2014 bonus show bandwagon. Hey, that sounds like Bing would say that. Hey, let me tell you, not too late to jump on the 2014 bonus show bandwagon. Wee, 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 wee. Order now, and you'll get all of the 2014 shows, plus on-demand video access to each show and unlimited access to the entire anthology. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, now is the time. Carpe diem.
That's every TMOS bonus show since we started. At $69.99, you save over 25%.
Of all the people that listen to the show, he chose you.
We also have monthly packages, and as always, you can still buy each episode a la carte. Check out all the details at MikeOmeraShow.com and choose the one that's right for you. Just click the bonus show banner. Remember, order now and you won't miss a single second of the bonus fun of the 2014 TMOS bonus package, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Be one of the people that gets the joke and get our bonus hour
right
today. And we thank you in advance for that one.
From around the globe, across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need. A comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, news you may not need.
Are you giving me a peace sign, Oscar?
No, I just, if you got a second, I'd like to redeem myself. I just realized that I just sounded so soulless that I feel horrible.
So you're referring to that previous segment or the last 4.5 years?
The previous segment.
Okay, good.
You know what, Oscar? I always say the first step toward redemption is remorse. I just made that up.
It's so true.
A 12-year-old boy, this is another bad story. I hate this, guys. 12-year-old boy armed with a shotgun opened fire at a middle school in New Mexico yesterday, seriously wounding 2 students before a staff member, an amazingly brave staff member,
hero,
persuaded him to put down the firearm. The shooting at Berendo Middle School in Roswell took place in a gym where students had gathered to stay warm from the frigid weather outside. This is really, really tough. Governor Susana Martinez told reporters that the shooter was quickly stopped by one staff member who walked right up to him and asked him to set down the firearm, which he did. This is according to Martinez. She's calling him a hero. I am too. The wounded children were an 11-year-old boy who students said had been shot in the face, and a 13-year-old girl whose condition was serious but improved after surgery. The boy underwent 2 rounds of surgery and was in critical condition. Say a prayer for the little guy, and hopefully he will pull through this.
And what's so sad is that a 12-year-old, it was premeditated enough that they are examining reports that he told his friends not to come to school that day.
Tragic.
So he actually thought it out. It's just, I can't even imagine. I can't wrap my head around it. Can't do it.
A Florida sheriff says a retired Tampa police officer's praiseworthy career does not offset the severity of the charge that he shot and killed another man after an argument at a movie theater over texting. I'd love to go back historically and check out these shootings, and it seems like we have a bit of a hangover, and I don't mean literally, but we have a bit of a hangover after the holiday season. It seems like people get a little short-tempered. You get a vibe on people.
Depression. It's depression, yeah.
It's very depressing. Curtis Reeves is 71. He's charged with second-degree murder in the death of 43-year-old Chad Olson on Monday. Reeves was ordered held without bond Tuesday pending another hearing. He was a police officer for more than 2 decades until his retirement in 1993. He regularly received outstanding evaluations and numerous letters of commendation for his leadership skills and training he led for other agencies on gun safety and other topics.
Come on, people. What is wrong?
You know, the only thing I'm thinking, and I'm not trying to give the guy any benefit here, but at 71, you wonder maybe there was something wrong. Maybe he had some circuits breaking
psychological.
Down. Psychological. You know, you never know. He might have had early dementia. I it's just a very sad situation.
Yeah. Horrifying.
And more gun violence, which is driving me nuts. Moving right along, everybody. The District of Columbia will take a step closer toward decriminalization of marijuana.
Woo! Wow. Yay! I bet Mayor Barry's on that side.
I just want to say, spark up.
Down in Ward 8?
Yeah, Ward 8, we're going to spark up. It's going to be a distribution center, and it's just going to be a parking ticket if you want to blow a doobie out on the street.
Will it be medical or for pleasure, Mayor?
For me, always medical, because I got the beaties.
I know you do.
I got
the diabetes.
Yeah, and you have also a lack of feeling in your hands, right?
So how about this? Seriously, right in our backyard. Oscar, your city.
Yes, sir.
Smoking a joint in the U.S. Capitol will be a violation comparable to a parking ticket. What do you think of that?
I think it's right. I think there's a lot of kids, especially inner-city kids, that are in these jails that don't belong there.
And when you say that, Mike, you don't mean actually in the Capitol, like not under the dome. You mean in the capital city?
He lives in the capital city. With Washington arresting people for pot possession at a higher rate than any state, a city council panel is set to mark up a bill that would reduce penalties for possessing less than an ounce, 28 grams of marijuana, to a fine as little as $25. If the bill is passed, Washington would join 15 U.S. states and a handful of cities, including Detroit, that have decriminalized marijuana use, making possession a civil rather than a criminal offense. Oscar gives it a thumbs up.
Meanwhile, traffic has tripled on 66 eastbound.
I think we're getting closer to a place where this becomes the cash crop that we all needed, that this economy needs.
And it can be regulated. It can be taxed. I mean, it's a very old argument, but it is really what happened with alcohol after the prohibition. Yeah.
I'll tell you something, Rob. If you want to score a lid in my town,
yeah.
Down here in Cocoonville, just my neighborhood, just it's rampant. You smell it all the time whenever you go walking out.
You should keep it on top of your fridge in a cereal bowl.
All you smell down here when you take a walk is small dog poop, because everybody's got a small dog, the odor of marijuana, and patchouli oil. That's all you smell.
You got a great neighborhood, dude.
In Cocoon Land.
Medicinal
the management
marijuana.
Of the Empire State Building on Monday filed a $1 million lawsuit against a photographer who shot topless pictures of a model atop the iconic 86th floor observatory.
Mm.
Last August, a model climbed into the crowded observation deck and took her top off as a 30-year-old photographer Alan Henson captured the image on his cell phone.
Was he a Muppet? Any relation?
How about those Oreolas?
The photo quickly went viral on the internet and angered the owners of the Empire State Building. Boo-hoo. Who gives
$1 million?
Who cares?
Yes. Yeah.
Come on.
Have you ever been up to the top of the Empire State Building?
I don't think I have.
I haven't
have
either.
Up there?
I have. The view is very impressive whether or not you have breasts in it.
Oh, that's right. You went up to the top because on the bottom there was just a water fountain, but at the top there was a Hofbra house. Right?
No, what happened? I went up to the top, and when I climbed up there, there were planes circling me. I actually had a woman in my hand.
Oh, that's that one business trip where Rob was hanging off the side of the building.
That's right. That was bad.
That blonde lady was screaming.
She was. Crazy lady.
Henson says we're doing a social experiment, adding that he's been photographing. Fashion models for 3 years. I'm done with this.
Picture taking.
Garbage
taking,
story
man.
That did not belong in my news. Thank you. Goodbye.
The young lady, not that attractive either, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
You saw the picture? I never saw the picture.
I pulled it up, and not so great.
I got a great story here, everybody. I think you're going to really, really enjoy this one. This one is near and dear to my heart. Pizza Hut has finally gone the way of the big city and decided to sell pizza by the slice.
Oh, yeah.
That might be up there. Jesus, look at her breasts. It's right up there with Coke attempting to market New Coke back in the 80s. For many years, Pizza by the Slice has only been, and oh, stop that music. For many years, Pizza by the Slice has only been an urban invention. Now we have Pizza Hut attempting something that could revolutionize the pizza industry. According to AP, Pizza Hut will offer customers who just want to have a couple of slices of pizza the chance to buy it by the slice.
I love it because that allows more people to touch my food, and the worst food poisoning I've ever gotten is when I bought a slice of pizza in New York City.
So where do you think you want to test market the pizza by the slice, Rob Spiewak?
Well, I would think some sort of metropolitan environment.
Absolutely. How about Nebraska? That's right.
Do they even know what pizza is in Nebraska?
They're doing it in Nebraska. Now, the other place they're doing it is Rhode Island.
Oh, of course.
They're going to do it in Rhode Island, but we'll see how customers take to it.
Pizza by the slice is drunken food. You leave the bars, you get a slice of pizza.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to me that on a Sunday, you know, when you've got the family of five that wants their pizza, that by the slice is going to work. I think it is purely urban. It works in an urban environment where people are walking into your shop.
And also they're ignoring the bigger issue is that their pizza isn't very good. They should fix that first.
It doesn't strike me as the kind of pizza that you would get by the slice.
Their thin crust is strong. I completely disregard what you just said. The thin crust is strong.
What about the pan pizza?
I like the pan, but the thin crust doesn't fill you up as much.
I like the pan and the thin.
And I'll do anything for food.
It's definitely obnoxious. A little something-something right now.
Okay.
Fellas. It's definitely obnoxious when someone takes too many items into the express lane at a store. But is it worth going to jail?
Is it?
Over the weekend, it caused a senior citizen brawl at a Walmart in, let me see, what state does it say?
Squint. Maybe you can make it out.
It's Florida. Oh. Yeah, that's it. It's Florida.
I see.
Saturday night, 65-year-old John Mallerby was unloading items from his motorized shopping cart.
Oh, one of those. Yeah. Well, you don't want to, you know the knee, Mike. You don't want to put too much pressure on the knee.
Maybe he just had surgery.
Yeah, the motorized shopping cart onto the belt.
The belt.
Even though the line was for 20 items or less, John had 22 items. Oh,
too
my
many.
God. Now, there's a guy behind him. 77-year-old William Goliday. As John unloaded his items, William started counting. When John blew right past 20, William started screaming that he couldn't use the register.
Too many!
Things got heated, and William ended up shoving his cart into John. Managers escorted him away, but he stormed back with his fists up, looking to keep the fight going. At that point, the cops were called and intervened. John's right elbow was injured by the shopping cart, but he declined medical treatment. William was arrested for battery on a person 65 years or older. That's a law down here.
Well, of course, down there it is.
Isn't that cool, though? If you're older, they're not going to let you. You know, it's a more severe penalty.
But in your neighborhood,
cool.
Do they really need to specify over 65?
No, they're all walking their dogs, smoking doobies, and putting on patchouli oil.
Of course.
There were plenty of witnesses at this particular Walmart. I know this for a fact because on Saturday night, every elderly person in the entire state of Florida was shopping at Walmart. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's where I am, boys. Let the elderly jokes flow like wine.
Of course.
We'll take a break, come back with the magic audio vault and Rob Spiewak. You are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody! Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show. You're listening to the songs of Yes. Move
yourself. Tight, baby. Tight and bright.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm trying to think where I am. Did I tell you also about, let me see, the e-voice line? Did we talk about
we
that?
We talked
yet?
About
the
e-voice,
of the program,
yeah.
Yes.
Right. Did I tell you about Amazon yet? No, I didn't.
No. Amazon is what we need.
That's what I got to tell you about, everybody. We are brought to you by our Amazon page. And we love the Amazon page. It's one of the longest-term relationships we've ever had on the Mike O'Mara Show. And you, the listeners, have made that rock for us. I love getting your Facebook messages, getting your text messages, getting your emails telling me all the cool stuff you get at Amazon. How about right now? Why fight the cold weather and the rude people at your local shopping mall and or Galleria?
Of course.
Just go through our Amazon link for all your shopping and stay warm and happy. Our Amazon portal is the best way to easily support this show. So when you buy your Blu-rays and the machine that plays them and the TV that you watch them on, use our Amazon link. Buy shoes, sweaters, a warm winter coat, or if you live in a warmer climate, new loungewear for poolside fun. Amazon is also the best way to shop for everything that your office needs, whether it's paper clips, coffee, or cleaning supplies. If you need it, Amazon has it. Always open at MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Remember, click Amazon at MikeOmaraShow.com, and don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
No, be brave.
To bookmark it. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Wednesday, Jan 15, 2014.
Great feedback yesterday on Robert Downey Jr. singing with Sting at Sting's birthday party.
But yes.
Yep. Our good friend Cappy Pfeiffer sent something along I'd never seen because I didn't watch Ally McBeal. Did you
Cappy's
watch
Book of the Month Club tomorrow. Cappy's pick to click for the – and, guys, maybe we can talk to her on the telephone. That would be very cool.
Oh, I'd like that.
Let's see if we can get her on to talk about her book because we want – you know, I want to add a little culture to the Mike O'Mara Show for 2014, and I think the book she's got, she sent me a text about it, and I think you'll like the pick that she's got for Cappy's book club in 2014.
So tomorrow is the big reveal.
Yes.
So do not miss that. But she also, so I never watched Ally McBeal, but Robert Downey Jr. had a plot arc on Ally McBeal, and he sang with Sting on that show.
Ah, I didn't
and
know
here's
that.
A clip of that. And this, the first voice you're going to hear is Robert Downey Jr. once again singing wonderfully, and then Sting comes in. But so he's no stranger to singing along with Sting.
Every single day.
Downey now here.
Every word you sing. Every game.
Birthday.
I think it was Ally McBeal's birthday, and it was at a party.
Would she the Sesame Seed?
So then
that's,
Sting comes
in. That's Robert Downey Jr.?
No, and that Sting comes in, and then they sing together. So there's actually, they have a history together. They must be buddies.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I like Sting a lot. I think it's somehow he might even be better without the Police. I'm sorry, yeah, Andy Summers. But.
And he's got tremendous longevity. And, you know, when he performs live, he takes it so very seriously and gets the quality musicians together. I've always admired that about him.
So anyway, so there's that for you Robert
very
Downey
cool.
Jr. / Sting fans. Now, my favorite series of tapes so far this calendar year. I had never heard this story before, but as Mike does every day, I listen to the Boomer Esiason radio show.
Oh, me too.
What is it, Boomer and Cartoon?
And yeah. So what happened? It's called Here's Boomer, I think is what it's called.
It's a really clever name, too, because you know what? I was thinking, you know, could you call it the Boomer Esiason experiment? You know, could you call it Boom and Rang?
I thought it was a Boomer and Carton or something like
no,
that.
No, I actually don't know the name. But Here's yesterday, Boomer. He told a story about calling a Monday Night Football game with Matt Millen. Now, I've had the pleasure of being in a couple football broadcast booths, and a lot of people don't know how close they are to the stands. A lot of times, it's just like the next row back. Well, this doing a radio call for a Monday night game, and someone in the row in front of them had sparked up some marijuana. And they talk about getting a contact high. And apparently Boomer has told this story before, but never with the tape of them being silly because of the contact high.
Okay.
I find this wonderful. Here's Boomer Esiason and Matt Millen, contact high, Monday Night Football.
Lee Johnson will come in to punt it away from his goal line.
Oh, somebody's got some ganj going again for him.
Oh, my God.
Major ganj.
Unbelievable. We'll be giggling before the night's out, I'll tell you that.
I'm hungry already.
Here's the kick to Lockett. Makes the catch, 45-50. Lockett, 45 in New England and out of bounds near the 40-yard line.
Seriously,
I mean, really, it's unbelievable. This booth is like right in the stands, and there's somebody doing something down here that they shouldn't be doing, and we're being like, we're like inundated with this. Right?
Dude, what's up?
20-10.
That's some munchies.
Patriots lead.
And guess what? The game continued. The game continued, and so did the smoking.
To get all the inside info on the NFL, check out.
I want to start that tape again because of the great pot-addled laugh. They're obviously in the middle of an NFL liner. Check this out.
It's terrific.
To get all the inside info on the NFL, check out the in-depth team reports exclusively at cbs.sportsline.com.
AKA pretzels.
Never mind the pretzels, it's the dip.
Oh, what a dip it is.
And it kept going.
Miami playing Buffalo yesterday.
There's some idiot in front of our booth here. I'm sorry, people.
What is he doing?
He's like, he's not even paying attention to the game. He's got his face smushed up against the window here.
Perfect.
Leaving skid marks.
Now, what I love is Millen calling some guy about not paying attention to the game, and they're not either.
They're not
and they're doing the radio
the
call for Monday Night Football. Anyway, so apparently, Boomer Esiason's story, always true.
Very cool.
Oh,
and
great.
We close today with David Letterman. Did you know that? I mean, of course, sex is one of the greatest things in the world, but there's actual medical benefits to having sexual intercourse.
According to the new, and it's the doctors from all over the world and had patients fill out forms, regular sex improves your memory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The study went on to indicate that regular sex improves your memory.
Wait.
Get this. Regular sex improves your memory.
Oh, you said that already.
And that's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
I like that, Rob. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for the tip in, Paul.
Hey, you already said that.
You already said that. Here, let me spotlight the joke. God, 40 years he's been doing that. Anyway, for all technical support issues with our show, you can contact our Sugar Glider Wrangler himself, Matt Bloom. Just drop him a line at ponyboy@mikeomaraShow.com. All correspondence for the Mike O'Mara Show should be sent to TMOS, P.O. Box 3, Manassas, Virginia, 20108. And remember, our official e-voice hotline is open now at 800-440-8167. I'll give that to you again. 800-440-8167. Drop us a line, and you can actually leave a voicemail, and eVoice will turn it into a text message for us, and then Ponyboy will read them and regale us with them before every show.
Wonderful.
Woo! Isn't that terrific?
Love
That's
it.
That's it. We got to get out of here. For Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao. I'm a nice guy.
Now that the show is over, don't forget to get started with a free 30-day trial of eVoice. eVoice gives you a toll-free or local number so you can take business calls from anywhere and always sound like you're at the office. Also, eVoice has great features like dial-by-name directory and even transcribes your voicemail so you can read them at your convenience. Go to MikeOmeraShow.com and click on the eVoice banner for your 30-day free trial.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.